We are in Book of Matthew, chapter 25. If you remember, last week we did 24 chapter. And 24 chapter was very complicated chapter. Because in that chapter, there was no clear cut about the church going up. There was only one passage about the trumpet sounding. When Jesus Christ was talking, there was no chapter. So 24 and 25, these two chapters, he is talking together. Because if you remember, disciples start asking, tell us the sign of your coming and the end of the world. And the disciples were taken aside on the Mount Olive, and he sat with them. There were no Sadducees, no Pharisees, nobody were asking questions. So Jesus Christ's disciples were asking the question and he was answering them. Now, today we are studying 25 chapter, Matthew, from verse 1.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom.
Now, here the example is giving 10 virgins. And where they're going? They're going to meet the bridegroom. Now, when you say church, church is called the bride of Christ. In the church, there can be ladies and there can be gentlemen. But all together, we are called virgins. Go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2.
For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
Chaste virgin to Christ. So that's what the church is all about. Revelation chapter 14, verse 4. There also we read about the virgins.
These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb.
See, these are the people called the virgins. Following the Lamb, walking with Christ, those are the called virgins. So now here we see there are 10 virgins. So go back to the Matthew, start reading from verse 2.
And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish.
Now here we see the 5 are wise, 5 are foolish. And so in the Word of God, who is wise? If somebody asks you, who is the wise according to the Word of God? The Bible says, the person who wins souls, that person is wise. Go to the Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 30.
The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise.
He that wins souls, that person is wise. And so to soul winning, you have to be born again. You have to know the Word of God, and then only you can win souls. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, please read.
And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
How did he get wise? Studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God. And when you are born again, child of God, the Word of God said the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, or beginning of knowledge. So only godly people who are wise, winning souls. That's what he says. These 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. In the Bible, who are the foolish, do you know? The foolish are called who do not believe in God. The person says there is no God, that person is foolish. We have two scriptures, Psalm 14, verse 1.
The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good.
Okay, Psalm 53, verse 1.
The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good.
Now just think, these 10 virgins, 5 are wise, 5 are foolish. So we have to pretend the foolish ones are not godly. They are not even believers. They are not trusting in God. They are not living godly life. They even denying there is a God. And those kind of foolish people were there. The five wise, they were born again. They knew the word of God. And they were preaching the gospel. Even though I told you from the beginning, when they say virgins, the thing comes in your mind, the girls, right? But I prove it to you from the word of God, virgins means can be men and women. We are all virgins when you are born again. How became virgins? Because it says, once you are born again, child of God, and you do not defile yourself with the world, then you are virgin to the Lord. Then we are ready for the marriage. Okay, so here we found out these two virgins, two different groups. Okay, go back to Matthew chapter 25, verse 3.
They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.
Now here you said, foolish ones took the lamp, no oil. That doesn't mean they had the oil and oil ran out. They did not take the oil. Now, when you take the lamp and don't take the oil, that lamp has no value. You cannot use it. There should be some oil. Other virgins, they took the lamp and the oil. Now, somebody will say, the foolish were sleeping and the wise one were sleeping. How come the wise one got a chance to go? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10.
For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him.
See, we awake or we sleeping. The ninth verse we said, God has not appointed us for the wrath. Means when the church goes, then the tribulation starts. If we are not going, that means we are lost. So he says, if you are born again, you are sleeping or you are awake, you will make it. Because they had the oil, they had the lamp, and they were wise, and they were born again, and they were waiting for the Lord. So the word of God says, you sleep or awake, you're going to make it. Because God is looking at your heart, not while you're sleeping when you are tired. Okay, I'll go back to the Matthew chapter 25, starting from verse 6.
And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.
Now see here, the foolish ones did not have the oil, and they are asking, Can I borrow your oil? And so we will have the oil. So they said, oh, we cannot give it to you, because if you give it to you, and then we will run out of the oil, so we cannot give it to you. So the point here is saying, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot give the Holy Spirit to somebody. Only God gives. And so here the word of God saying, midnight cry came, and then they went in. Okay, so verse 10.
And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut.
Okay. Now, what happens here, all these foolish ones, they go out. The wise ones, the door opens for them, and they come in, and the door is shut. When God shuts the door, nobody can open it. Do you know the time of Noah? He preaches 120 years. He said the rain is coming, and nobody believed it. When the rain start coming, the word of God says, God shut the door. Noah was not able to open, because some of Noah might have some friend too, but he could not save them. And so here the word of God says, the door was shut, and nobody can open it. And now here we're saying, now the time for the marriage. And so that's what the Christians are waiting. Even though we say marriage, is not actually going to be marriage, but it's a spiritual meaning. And so let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, and start reading from verse 7 to 9.
Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God.
Now here is the bride ready to meet the bridegroom, and the qualification is given, they are righteous. And the righteous people, how we got our righteousness? We got our righteousness by the blood of Jesus Christ. How we became the bride? We became the bride in the day of Pentecost. Because before the day of Pentecost, there was no church. Church established on the day of Pentecost. And so, the Holy Spirit the person receives, that's the person is qualified to be bride. Now we saw here, 10 virgins, 5 didn't have the oil, 5 had the oil. So oil represents the Holy Spirit. So now here we see, for the marriage, the bride comes with the righteousness, with the oil, and he says there are some other people are invited, those people also are blessed. Now somebody will say, who are the other people? If the bride is there, who are the other people are invited? Let's read St. John chapter 3 and verse 29.
He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled.
Now who is saying this? This my joy therefore is fulfilled. Who is saying? This is the John the Baptist. John the Baptist saying, I am not the bride. If you read a verse before that, he says, I'm not a Christ. He said, I'm not a Christ, I'm not a bride. And he said, who I am? I am the friend. And so, Jesus Christ said to his disciples, John the Baptist is greatest among all the people who were ever born. But there is someone who is least in the kingdom of God. He is greater than the John the Baptist. And so the John the Baptist doesn't come in the category of bride. And so he is a friend. If you take John the Baptist is greatest among all the prophets, then all other prophets has to come in the same category. You understand? Because if the John the Baptist is the greatest one, and he says, I'm not a bride, I'm the friend, so all other people, Old Testament people, call the friend of God. And so they will be invited in the wedding. Okay, now let's go back to the Matthew chapter 25, starting from verse 11.
Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not.
Well, somebody asked me a question. He says, if this is the Lord, and they're saying, Lord, Lord, and he says, I do not remember you, I do not know you, I don't know who you are. Then somebody says, why, God doesn't know these people? Is God lying or something? What is happening here? See how it happens. I'll give an example, then you know. Just think that you were a sinner and you were going to go to hell. You received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you asked forgiveness of your sins. What happens? You are a new man. You are a new creation. And so the old person is what? Is dead. You cannot call the old person. He's completely new. That means God is not going to recognize him as an old person. as a sinner. You understand? Now God is saying, you are a new man, you are a new creation. The same way, if somebody was in the Lord and followed the Lord for a while, did signs and wonders and miracles, and then turn around and say, I have nothing to do with Jesus, I'm not going to walk with him, and I'm going to walk away and do whatever I want to do. What happened? Completely turned around. Now he became like a sinner. Now God doesn't recognize him. God only recognizes the people who are born again, saved, and living for him. Because if somebody goes in a hell, God is not going to keep account of those people, how many are there and what they're doing. They are gone there, finished. And so here the word of God is saying, in this lady's came, he said, I don't know you. Now go to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, and start reading from verse 21 to 23.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
See, now hear what he's saying. If everyone says, Lord, Lord, and don't do the will of my Father, they are not going to go to heaven. This lady says, oh, Lord, Lord, open the door. Not because they are saying, Lord, Lord, but as they were foolish. The foolish means sinners. They are not followers of Christ. God does not recognize them. And so he did not open the door for them. Verse 22.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Now see what happens here. Somebody comes and say, hey, I went to church. I am ordained minister. I did signs and wonders. I had so many followers. And I did a lot of good works. Why can't you understand me? Why can't you recognize me? God said, I don't recognize you. Once the person is backslidden, once the person is completely going against Christ or doesn't recognize Christ, God does not remember those people anymore. I'll give an example. Go to the St. John chapter 6 and start reading verse 66. When you're reading this, just keep in your mind what these people did. Okay.
From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him.
Many of his disciples walked away from him, and they never walked with him again. What does it mean? They didn't go for a couple of days and came back. They were with him. They were working with him. They did the signs and wonders and miracles. Who are those people? Now, if you remember, Matthew chapter 10, there were 12 people are chosen. Luke chapter 10, there were 70 were chosen. Now, what happened in John chapter 6? Jesus Christ was saying, if you want eternal life, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. They said, oh, this is too hard. We don't want to hear this. And they walked away and never walked with Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was crucified, those 70 people were not there. You don't see them at all after the resurrection. Even the Jesus Christ comes and he shows himself to the disciples, we see only 11 disciples. We don't see these disciples at all. Now, these people walked away and never walked with him again. And now the time of judgment, when Jesus Christ stands there and he says, hey, who are you? Get away from me. I do not remember you. I do not recognize you. That's what's going to happen. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew chapter 25, start reading from verse 13.
Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.
Now when he says, watch therefore, what he's trying to say, as long as we are living in this world, there is a warning. Watch, there is a disaster coming. There is a time of trouble coming. And all of these signs are in the word of God. God is warning us. But if you blindly don't listen and we keep on going the way we're going, then we are going to go through the tribulation. Book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 36. why he said watch, therefore, not only watching and praying.
Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man.
See, he says, watch therefore, and pray. What are the things are coming to this world? The tribulations and trials, and they are going to go to hell. Those are the things are coming. You should escape all those things. Pray and be worthy when Jesus Christ comes. Okay. Let's go back to the Matthew chapter 25, verse 14.
For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine.
Now here he gives the example of the king going for journey. He says a far country. When Jesus Christ told his disciples, I'm going to go to heaven, I'm going to prepare a place for you, I will come back, and then I'll take you with me, and whatever is mine is yours. But he says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, you got all 9 gifts. And not only that, he says in the St. John chapter 14, verse 12, whatever the miracles I did, you will do also, and you will do greater miracles than me. So that means he already gave the talents. He said, do according to your ability. And what he says, occupy until I come. Now the one person had 5, he made 5 more. Who had 2, he made 2 more. But if you see the reward, exactly what he says, the man who made 5, and exactly he says who made 2, it is not who made more or less, their how their heart was doing the Lord's work. What God has given them talent. Whatever they got, they made more. But the other one, the person who has 1, he says he was afraid. He was afraid that he is going to lose it. And he was afraid that the boss is going to find me guilty. And he was afraid that I'm going to get the punishment. And so he said, I'm not going to use my talent. I'm going to dig a hole and bury it. And now in another gospel, he says he put it in the handkerchief and he buried it. Now, if you know, handkerchief is for what? Handkerchief is for when you're working hard and you get a sweat, you wipe it off with a handkerchief. Now, if this man takes the handkerchief and put the talent in the handkerchief, dig the hole and put it there, that means he doesn't have to work. He doesn't have to sweat. He doesn't have anything to do. And so this is what it did. Son, that's why the Word of God is saying, when God has called you with a definite purpose, he has given you everything what you need to work for him. There is nothing lacking when you are born again child of God. You can be just like Christ living on this earth. We are his hand, we are his feet, we are his body, and we are supposed to work on this earth for Christ's sake. But if we are not working, and not only that, see, when he gives the answer to his boss, what boss says to him, let's go to the Matthew chapter 25 and start reading from verse 26.
His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents.
Now, some people will say, this king, this man is unjust. This man gave him a talent, he did not lose his talent, and he is giving him back what more he wants. But the word of God says this man was not ordinary servant. The boss says you are wicked, and what? Means you are lazy, you do not want to work, and at the same time you are wicked. Now how come the wicked person got this talent? Somebody would say, God gives everyone chance to come to the kingdom of God. Even the Judas got a chance. Judah got a chance, and he was, the word of God says, he was a thief, he was a robber, but God made him a treasurer. And still, he could not make it. And so, this man, not only wicked, he is a lazy man, and he cannot even live a godly life. The word of God says, if you are not working, you should not be eating. But people don't like this. Lazy people, there is a Bible says in the Old Testament, one lazy person, he says, there is a lion on the street, that's why I don't want to go. There's no lion, but he doesn't want to go. And sometimes he puts his hand on the plate and he's so lazy to take it and put it in his mouth. That kind of lazy people are useless. King says, take it from and give it to the person who has 10. Somebody says, then don't you think this is wrong? This person now lost everything? Let's read a little bit further. Verse 29.
For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
See, not only taking his money and giving to the somebody, but this person is qualified to go to hell and spend his time in eternity in hell. God gave him money, just take it, do something. That means when God gives you a salvation, it's your duty to keep it. Some people are saying, oh, you got saved forever. Doesn't work that way. We learned last time, it said helmet of salvation. Why you have to have a salvation on the top of that a helmet? Because you don't lose your salvation. You keep it. If you lose it, you will go to eternal hellfire. That's the way that Jesus Christ said those people worked with him, signs and wonders and miracles and everything. They said, we don't want to hear you. You are talking about eating your flesh and drinking your blood. We don't want to do this. We are going to walk away and we'll never walk with you. Where they're going to go? They're going to go to hell. They say, we did miracles, this and that. He said, I don't know you. Because he erased their names out of his mind. That's what happens. Now, in this man also, he had a chance. But what happens, if you would have said, I'm sorry, sir. You are a good man. You give me talent. I didn't use it. Could you give me a second chance? This time, I'm going to work. And I'm going to make it. Instead of that, what he's trying to say, you are a bad man. Wherever it's not sown, you go and gather there. So he is trying to find a fault in God. And that's what the people are. They live sinful life, and they don't get job, they don't get money, they don't get there, they blame God. You cannot blame God. You have to look at your situation. Why are you in this situation? If God is not unjust, God has given you everything, but you are the one losing it, what God has given. And that's what the problem is. Okay, let's read verse 31. Now, we see first example, now second example, now Jesus Christ is giving a third example.
When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goat.
Now here is saying, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Now, people are thinking, when Jesus Christ comes and set up his throne, and right away he's going to judge the people and send them to hell? No. First of all, when he comes in Revelation chapter 19, when he comes, get hold of Antichrist, get hold of false prophet, put them in a lake of fire, destroy their armies, calls the birds of heaven, eat their flesh, and when they were destroyed, their king, who is the Satan, is called old serpent, get hold of him, tie him for 1,000 years, putting in a bottomless pit, and then 1,000 years kingdom starts. Now when he is going to judge these people, let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 20. Start reading from verse 11.
And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them.
Now see, the earth and heaven fled away. And other prophets will tell you, this world is going to be here forever. What is he saying? Earth and the heaven will pass away. Read up to 15.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
See, this is the final judgment. And so when this judgment is done, when the earth and heaven will pass away. I'll give one more scripture and then I'll come back. St. John chapter 5, start reading from verse 28.
Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
Now here, in this chapter, if you see, the judge is Jesus Christ. And all these people who are dead from the Genesis until the last person dies in the millennium, because millennium people will be dying. So the last person who died in the millennium, and from the Genesis, all these sinners will be separated according to where their name is written. That's why he said the goat's left hand, the sheep in the right hand. And some people say, oh, they are goat nations and sheep nations. There's nothing goat nation and sheep nation. This is the people who work according to the will of God, who are godly people, whose name is written in the book of life, or their name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Those people will be separated. But for the believers, there is no judgment. And somebody say, I will be going through the judgment. No. You are in the St. John chapter 5. Read verse 24.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
If you are living in Christ, then we have no judgment. In the white throne judgment is not for us. This is for wicked and the people who lived without Christ, and somebody's names are written in the book of life, this Old Testament people and other people. But we won't be there in that judgment. Now, the point I was telling you, I will show you this earth and heaven will pass away, because this call, the white throne judgment, is not on earth. Go to the Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea.
See, here is saying the heaven and earth passed away. So now if you say passed away, that doesn't mean it's still there. And so there won't be heaven, earthly heaven, and earthly land. God is going to make a white throne judgment somewhere in outer space and judge everybody, because all the people who lived from Genesis until the millennium, all those people will be raised. I don't think there will be room even to stand on this earth. And so that's why this earth has to go, this heaven has to go, and new heaven and new earth will be established. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 25, starting from verse 32.
And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me.
Do you know who these people were? He says he will say to the righteous. The righteous people, the godly people, born again people, they are the one helping poor, needy, and all the people who are suffering in this world. When the disaster comes, who goes to rescue the people? Even though they are in Muslim country, they are in Hindu country, America goes first. Why? Because America is a Christian nation. Some people do not want to call America as a Christian, but it was a Christian nation, and still majority are Christians. So the born-again people are taught to help your brother, love your brother, and help other people, give them food, give them shelter, give them... And so these people, nobody has to tell you this, the Spirit of God will lead you to do good things. Because if you read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, God has created us in Christ Jesus to do good things. Please read.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
See, God has before ordained, before the foundation of the world, God wanted us to be doing some things, because he said, come, this kingdom is for you. God has prepared you before the foundation of the world. So we are in the mind of God. The word of God says, without Christ, our works are the filthy rags. We cannot do good things when you are living in sin. Even though somebody says, oh, sinners are doing good things. But their good things are not counted as good, because God looks at your heart. If you doing heartless things, then those good things. Some sinners, they do good things for fame and some gain. Believers, they don't do for fame and gain. They do it because they think, this brother is my brother, and I have to help him. The word of God says, if your brother is hungry and thirsty, give it to him. And that's what the word of God is teaching. So he says, to the righteous people, he'll say, you did it to one of my brethren, you did it to me. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew chapter 25, starting from verse 41.
Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.
See what he's trying to say? Those people, he said, you are cursed. Cursed people. But see, Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, it says, Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We were all cursed. What was the curse? The death penalty was the highest curse because Adam committed sin. So if somebody doesn't come to Christ, does not recognize Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, the death, the curse hangs on them. It doesn't go away. The curse is only gone because of Jesus Christ. Okay, so what happened here? You are cursed. Now, other religious people, they don't know. They're thinking we are innocent people. We are good people. We are generous people. We are doing this and we are doing that. No, the Word of God says, I'm looking at your heart. I'm not looking at what you're doing. What is the good thing? The Word of God says, what is the good thing we can do? The only good thing you can do, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the best deed you can do. All other things are useless. If the person did not receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he might be doing billion good things. God is not going to recognize him. The same way so many people praying. Hindus are praying, then Muslims are praying, and everybody is praying. Their prayer will not be answered. But the Word of God says, my ear is not deaf, my hand is not shortened, but your sin came between you and me, I cannot hear you. When the believers are praying, that prayer also will not be answered if you don't pray in Jesus' name. There are some people, they are not taught how to pray. And so they pray, and just stop. They don't even say in Jesus' name. There are some television preachers, you might have seen, I don't have to give their names. They pray maybe 10, 15 minutes and say, praise the Lord. And everybody says, praise the Lord. There is no amen, there is no in Jesus' name. So our prayer has to go through Jesus. Otherwise that prayer will not be recognized. Because God is not going to recognize us without the blood of Jesus Christ or without Christ. God only sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ, and then he says, you are righteous because your sins are forgiven, washed, cleansed. And so that's what he's saying. The righteous people, he says, you did it to my brethren, you did it to my least ones, so you did it to me. Saul was persecuting the church. And when Jesus Christ came and talked to him, what did he say? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He did not say, why are you persecuting my Christian people? He said, you are persecuting me. That means if somebody persecute the children of God, they are persecuting Christ. If somebody helping the children of God, Jesus says, you are helping me. Verse 42.
For I was in hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these things shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
What is their punishment? Everlasting punishment means they are going to go to eternal hellfire. Not because they did not give food and this and that. He is just giving an example. First of all, he said other people were righteous. That's why they did it. That's why he says Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. In Christ only you can do good things. Without Christ, we cannot do any good things. They are trying to do it. God is not approving their prayers, their works, everything is no good. Doesn't mean these people didn't give anything anybody. He says you did not do it to my people, my brethren, least one of Christians. See, if you are not helping your own brother in Christ, and you giving $1 million to charity somewhere else, and your brother, Christian brother, is suffering, God is not going to give you reward for $1 million going to somebody else to for your name. He's looking at, are you helping your brother in Christ? And that's what it is. God has called us with a definite high calling. And so our job is to improve the Lord's work. Now here we got three examples he gave. Example of virgins, what kind of readiness they need. Then he gave the talents example, what kind of work they're supposed to do. And then he gave the last example, how much you can help the brothers and sisters in Christ. All these things the born again child of God will do. You don't have to tell them to do this, do this, do this, because if you say do, people think this is some kind of command and we are under the law or something. No, you don't have to say anything to do anything. If somebody is born again Christian, you don't have to tell him, hey, why don't you go and tell somebody about Jesus? You don't have to. If I received Jesus Christ, if I got healed, and if I got so many miracles, nobody has to tell me to go and tell. I will tell. Jesus Christ said to those people, don't tell anybody. But those other people went and told so many people what Jesus Christ did. So, point I'm making, we are in this world. We are preparing ourselves as well as we should prepare others. Otherwise, we will be selfish. Somebody says, oh, I don't want this, my neighbor, to go to heaven because he's a bad person. And so, what you're trying to say, I don't want him to come to church. I don't want him to come to Bible study. I don't want him to learn more because I don't want him to go to hell. There is other person. It's just his example. He said, I went to heaven. And he died and went to heaven. And he said, there are some of the pastors, some of the good people. I was thinking those people died, so I was looking for them, and I could not find them. And some of the bad people I saw on earth, I never thought I can see them in heaven, but I saw those bad people in heaven. How it works? Jesus Christ said to the Sadducees and Pharisees, there are sinners and publicans. They will come to the heaven and you will be cast out in the darkness. How it works? Because those people repented. Jesus Christ was called the friend of the sinners. Did he become sinner? No. He went and taught them repentance and brought them to Christ. The time is very short. You see the signs of his coming. Jesus Christ is coming very soon. There is nothing has to happen to Jesus to come. But there are some Jewish Christians, they will tell you, oh, he might come in Rosh Hashanah. He might come in Feast of Trumpet, and this and that. When you keep on looking at those days, and that's the day you thinking, oh, he will be coming that day. He says, the day and the hour, only God knows. No angels and nobody. So they even ask him. He said, no, I cannot tell you. Why, Jesus didn't know? Yes, he knew. But he says, Father knows, and Father did not give me permission to tell you, so I'm not telling you. That's the way it is. Because you remember, somebody asked him, could you tell me, what authority are you doing these things? He would have said, God sent me, and I'm doing in God's authority. But he said, I'll ask you one question. The John's baptism was from heaven or from earth? Tell us. They start thinking, if you say from heaven, then why are you not listening to him? If you say from earth, then his disciples and some other people will kill us. Oh, we don't know. We cannot tell. And Jesus said, I'm also not telling you what authority I'm doing. The same way, when they ask the question, tell us when you're coming, he did not want to pinpoint the date. Otherwise, if you would have said such and such a month, such and such a date, then nobody will coming to Christ. Everybody start committing sin. Oh, 2012 or 2015, he's coming, so we will wait until then. Many people would have gone to hell. So he said, I'm coming as a thief in the night. I'm not telling you what time I'm coming because only Father knows. So what we have to do? He said, watch and what? Pray that you should escape the troubled time coming. So when we are awake or we are asleep, if you are righteous and living for God, we will not go in a tribulation. God has not called us for wrath. Shall we pray? Please rise. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to understand the Word of God. Be with us, sanctify us, and use us for your glory. You have given us many talents, and we are not using it. Give us grace to use it for the glory of God, winning souls for Christ. Your word says, occupy until I come. We don't have time to waste. Give us grace to be ready for your soon coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.